Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hey guys, Bianca here. Just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host, Buzzsprout. You can find the link to our Buy Me a Coffee page on all our socials. So Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram. And also on our blog, www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Amy.
I'm Bianca.
And I'm Sarah. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than to start a podcast while we were all living La Vida lockdown. But now we're free.
Yay!
So we're going to continue anyway.
We have better shit to do now, but man.
We have better shit to do, but we're just going to see where this goes. So,
yeah,
we take aim at a topic each week and drink a bottle or three of wine or whatever I have and try to make some sense of me.
Yeah.
So, what are we drinking?
Hi. I'm drinking Brian Fletcher's Merlot from the Pyramids game. Brian Fletcher makes some lovely wines. Lovely. And I hadn't seen the Merlot before, and I just thought, ooh, yes, you look delicious. I will have you in my collection.
I'm going to look for it and add it to my cart.
add the Fletcher to the cart.
Add the Fletcher to the cart.
Adding Fletcher to the cart.
Fletcher has been added.
Yes, Fletcher is added to the cart.
It'd just be so much better if our wines pyramids game would get on board with this podcast and they could just hear us say stuff and just add it to our carts for us. That would really help, guys.
Yes, please. Make wines. What's going on? Come on.
The only thing is that at the end of a double recording, which we do sometimes, we would end up with, you have 674 bottles in your cart. Do you want to check out now or in 3 years?
Do you have Afterpay? I mean,
maybe PayPal.
Afterpay. If pubs are getting Afterpay, surely we can get Afterpay.
Well, if I can go out to a pub and get drunk out there in the public and spend up all my credit on Afterpay paying for shots for, well, everybody, why can't I just get drunk at home doing my podcast?
Right.
Yeah, anyway, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking the rest of my bottle because we're doing a double shot.
That's right.
I'm pretty fucking toasted from last week. It's been a good week here, people.
I told you to get on the pyramid scheme, didn't I?
So, yes, I am drinking The Companions Shiraz Tempranillo.
Sounds like it's delicious, Bianca, because you are bit fucked. So, yeah.
I am bit fucked. It is 8.9 standard drinks.
That'll do it.
That'll do it.
Well, I finished my drink last episode, so I'm not drinking anything.
Yeah.
And the fun police got to you anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah. So, yeah. Amy, what is our topic for tonight?
Oh, this is an amazing topic for at this point in recording, especially off the back of another episode. Yeah. Our topic for tonight is English words, like how.
Yeah.
So this topic is a follow-on topic from our recent topic, English words, like why. Where we discuss.
It's a part two.
Yeah, it's a part two.
And this time I don't have to introduce it.
Yay!
In the previous episode, we discussed crazy English words and why they don't make any sense. Tonight, as a follow-on, we are looking at certain English words and working out how they are actually words in the first place. Yeah. Like how.
How.
In an article by The Guardian, the Global Language Monitor, which is a company in Texas which tracks trends in language, estimated that there is approximately 5,400 new words created every year.
What the fuck?
I'm responsible for 4,963 of those. Personally. The rest are taken up by other members of this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
You're welcome.
Yeah. However, it's only about 1,000 words that are actually deemed to be widespread and are in use. So it makes it into dictionaries and things like that.
Yeah.
Once it's in a reputable dictionary like Oxford or Webster's, then it's a real word. It's basically a word. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah. Okay. So how
is trying to make flesh happen.
Just stop and stop making growing a beard happen.
Oh, no, growing the beard's happening. It's happening. Yeah. Get used to it. No.
It's happening.
How does this happen? So according to this article that I read in The Guardian, all new words are created by one of three mechanisms. So okay. derivation?
Is derivation? It one of three or one of
13? Sorry, one of 13, sorry. Okay. I've had too much wine. Anyway.
Just in case they thought you were going to stop at three and you don't.
Like a countdown with 10 extra bonus things. Yay.
Honorable mentions.
10 honorable mentions after three.
I already have an honorable mention at the end, so this is not gonna play out well. Anyway, okay, I'm gonna kick on, otherwise I'm never gonna get through this. So 13 mechanisms, here they are. So derivation. So that is the most common method of creating new words, which it adds a prefix or a suffix to an existing word. So, for an example, the word realization. So that was actually coined back in 1610. Mm-hmm. Or detonator from 1822. So you take like real and then a prefix or a suffix, ization, and just add it together. And it's just fun. Drunkenization. That's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I took a little bit about that too in my segment. So awesome.
So the next one is back formation, and this is the creation of a new root word and then the removal of a phantom affix. So for instance, the noun sleaze, for example, was back formed from sleazy in about 1967.
Yes, we had sleazy first.
We did.
Oh, chicken and the egg. Yes. Yeah.
The next one is compounding. So typically a compound word begins life as separate entities and then it gets hitched with a hyphen and eventually becomes a single unit. So much like the members of this podcast, start off as separate entities, then we get hitched and now we're a single unit. So it's mostly nouns that are formed this way. So like fiddlestick, claptrap, carbon dating, bailout. But words from other classes can also be smushed together too. So like into, so it's a preposition. Nobody, which is a pronoun. Daydream, which is a verb. Some other ones are awe-inspiring, environmentally, and friendly, which are adjectives.
Oh.
A fourth one is repurposing. So you take a word from one context and you apply it to another, which we do often on this show. Thus, the crane, meaning lifting machine, got its name from the long-necked bird. And the computer mouse was named after the animal.
Yeah.
So the fifth one is conversion, taking a word from one word class and then transplanting it into another. The word giant was for a long time used as a noun, meaning creature of enormous size, until the 15th century when people started to use it as an adjective, so to describe how big something was. It was giant. So at eponyms, I think that's how you say it. So they're words named after a person or a place. So words like Alzheimer's, Atlas, Cheddar, Alsatian, Diesel, and Sandwich are to name a few of those ones.
Okay, yeah.
The seventh one is abbreviations. So an increasingly popular method. Some words that you know might have actually started out as a longer word. So, for instance, pram. That was actually prambulator.
Yeah. Okay.
What?
Yeah.
Prambulator. Excuse me while I put my newborn in my prambulator.
Yep. Yeah. Hence why we now say pram.
Right. Taxi, cab, both formed from taximeter cabriolet, which was the original name of taxis because they were cabriolets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And what a shame.
This one got me. Goodbye. That's actually a abbreviation of God be with you.
Oh.
Did anyone else know that? Yeah, I didn't know that.
No.
Number eight is loan words. So foreign speakers often complain that their language is now being overrun by borrowings from the English. But in fact,
The French complain about this the most. Like, calm your shit.
What is this? An English word. Another English word in my French language. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, it's English that is the word thief. Linguist David Crystal reckons that half-inch words from at least 35 languages exist in the English language.
Yeah,
we have discussed this so many times on this show.
Yeah, like welcome was a Viking word.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Onomatopoeia, I think that's how you say
it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a creation of a word by imitating the sound of what it's supposed to make. So words like plop, ow, bath, cuckoo, bunch, bump, and midge all originated this way.
Midge.
Yes.
The fuck is midge?
And
the fuck is a midge?
If you really if you like onomatopoeia and not onomatopoeia so words, read comics, specifically comics from the golden era. So pow, bam, biff. I love it. Yeah.
Okay, so number 10 is reduplication. So it's the repetition or near repetition of a word or sound. To this method, we owe the likes of flip-flop, goody-goody, boo-boo, helter-skelter, picnic, clap-trap, hanky-panky, and hip-hop. Then we have my favourite of the 13 parts, and that is nonce words. These are words that are pulled out of thin air. Yeah, and they are bearing little relation to any existing form. Some examples are few and far between, but include quark, bling, and fleek.
Yep, on fleek. Yep.
Yeah, again, we do this all the time on the show.
And it's Gucci. Yeah.
Number 12 is error. So misspellings, mishearings, mispronunciations, and mistranscriptions rarely produce new words in their own right, but often lead to new forms of conjunction with other mechanisms. So scramble, for example, seems to have originated from a variant of the word scrabble. But over time, the two words have actually formed and they're taken on separate meanings. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's actually, two words that have originated from the one word but now have separate meanings. Interesting. Yeah. All from error. Yeah, similarly, I can't speak now. Amazing. The words, this is a good one. The words shit and science, thanks to a long sequence of shifts and errors, are both ultimately derived from the same root word. This is actually true. I looked it up.
So science is shit.
No, we're not saying that on this show because we love science.
Yeah, and we like science magic.
Yeah.
Not just science.
Science magic. Yeah, we love that.
Plain science is shit.
Well, it's boring. It's not shit. It's just boring. Anyway.
No, according to what you just said, science is shit.
They came from the same place, okay? They don't mean the same thing anymore. That's what they're
repeating. No. Topic. Shit science.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so the last one. I'm nearly there, guys.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, so the last one is number 13 and is portmanteaus, and that is compounding with a twist. That's
or
also
portmanteaus. Known,
yes, or portmanteaus. Portmanteaus, I said it phonetically. Yeah.
It's kind of like what they use in Harry Potter to get from place to place, but it's not.
Yeah. I solemnly swear I'm up to no good.
Dang, Lily. Don't wait, I'm still here.
God, okay. So this is compounding with a twist, also known as blending. Take one word, remove an arbitrary portion of it, and I suppose that that's on the user, whatever yeah. you think is arbitrary, obviously.
Thank you, boss. Yeah.
And then put in place either a whole word or a similarly clipped one.
Which is all the fucking time.
So thus, we had born sitcom, internet, and sexting. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to kick on to my very short segment because you've heard me bang on for so long now, and I'm editing, so fast, fast, fast. Okay.
I shall take my time.
I will draw this out. I will
take my time. Yep.
Don't take too long though, Sarah, because Bianca's going to pass out. So,
yeah.
Okay. So, the first, I've got two words that I want to discuss and then a bonus one. So, the first one I wanted to talk about was added to the Oxford Dictionary in 2019, and the word is omni-shambles.
Yep.
Chiefly in political context, a situation that has been comprehensively mismanaged or is categorized by a series of blunders and miscalculations. Yep. According to the definitions that I discussed earlier, this word is a compound word. So it uses the word omni, meaning all things, and shambles, meaning the state of total disorder. Yeah.
So this is what it was. So omni shambles is like when I drank the fuel money.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Even though we put
would that
many
be omni shenanigans.
It's omni shenanigans, absolutely, Sarah. Absolutely. Yeah, I love omni shambles as a word, and
yeah.
I use it
yeah.
often because it just describes my life. So
yeah.
Omni shambles. Okay. The second word that I'm going to discuss was added to the Collins English Dictionary in 2008. And it is meh. It's an expression of indifference or boredom. This is an interesting one because it is commonly thought to have originated from the TV show The Simpsons in the late 90s or early 2000s. However, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the first known use of the word was in 1992, but it doesn't say where it was from. So meh could have come from The Simpsons earlier than what we picked up on it.
Oh.
So now we have to get on a Disney Plus, go back to all the old Simpsons ones and find out when they started to do this. I use meh all the time. Meh.
Yeah.
Meh. It's
the state meh.
Of feeling that you're in.
Yeah.
You're just feeling meh.
So using the definitions I described before, this word would be a nonce word because it seems to have been pulled out of thin air or made up.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So
like
my
yoink.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So my bonus one, I'm going to give a special shout out to a new word that I learnt, which is McJob. McJob. This word is defined as a low-paying job that requires little skill and provides a little opportunity for advancement. This one would be classified as an abbreviation, and I love it.
You're Mac-loving it. Yeah,
I'm Mac-loving it.
I have had many McJobs.
Everybody has had so many McJobs.
I've had so many McJobs.
I might be in one at the moment. Really,
I'm
no
definitely
not
in my McJob. I'm in my forever job, I think.
I wore my power boots to a meeting today and it was casual Fridays. I'm not in a McJob anymore. So
yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to leave my job because it's quite cushy and I get paid fairly well.
Exactly. You're not in your McJob anymore.
You're not in
we're big girls.
But there's no area for advancement.
Well, do you want to at this point?
No.
Exactly.
No. I like watching Netflix while I'm at work.
Exactly. Great job.
You can actually find job in Webster's dictionary. So it's definitely a real word because, yes, it's in the dictionary. This is a thing. Get on it, people. McJob.
Nice.
And omni shambles and meh. Yeah. All right, Bianca, what have you got?
Oh, wow. We're up to it already. This is amazing. Okay. So tonight I'm going to talk about some things I found very interesting. So from Amy's definition earlier, these were my first words are compounding words because it's taking two words and putting them together. Or it could be a nonce word or, yeah, it actually could be a variation of several of those. So I'm going
could
to talk
into
about
all the categories.
It's yeah. Not quite all of them, no, but you're definitely compounding. Words ending in ard or art. So an ard or an art is an intensifier, and that means that words become meaning more of to or very of something. So it makes it larger than what it is. So when we look at that, we'll look at some words here. It's like wizard. So it's an ard. This is someone who is very wise because you've got whiz, which would have been two Z's, and then you've added ard onto it to intensify it. So that becomes wizard with one Z. So let's power on from that. So we've got drunkard, someone who drinks too much, like me.
I'm thinking my name should be Amard.
Super Amard.
Super Amard.
No, I'm sorry. That just sounds like a mart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That also fits. Yeah. I should through them, actually. Yeah.
We also have braggart. It's just someone who brags too much. And dullard. Someone who is very dull or stupid. So then when we look at the word mustard, this means it is very musty or pungent. And it's from the Latin mustum, meaning new wine from root that is wet.
Interesting.
Mustard and wine are two different things, and you can't eat them together. I don't care what he says.
So from there, we have coward. This is from the Latin word corda, which means tail, but is also influenced by the English words cower and coward. So the tail between your legs. So this is a coward, and I like that that actually makes sense because, obviously, cow is just a word that we know means someone who is less of a person for not doing their job or not going into battle or not putting themselves forwards. They're a coward.
Oh, if you don't know why. Away from something, that means you pull away from it.
Yeah.
You hide from it.
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah, that was actually, I found that very interesting that it derives all the way back to Latin. You may notice that lots of those words have negative connotations, which means ard and art actually makes words very derogatory. So to fill out my ard and art, next we have bastard, which comes from the old French, fils de bast, which translates to pack saddle son.
Yep.
Yeah. Which derives from people conceiving children with someone they are not married to while traveling. Hmm. Yes. So, yes, bastard, like in my mind, was always, okay, so that means you've had a child out of wedlock, but break it down further. It's actually more than that. It's people who are traveling, and it's been, through the generations, has been simplified further.
Hmm.
Yeah. So now we get on to my fun tidbits, Bianca's tidbits. Who doesn't love my tidbits? I love my tidbits.
I need a little jingle for that. Bianca's tidbits, not her tidbits. That's
not my tidbits. Yeah, I get them out often, but not on this show because it's not visual.
Actually, you should call it Bianca's tidbits.
My tidbits. Yeah. Chesty LaRue at your service. So... Chai tea means TT.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
I never got this.
But, all right, if you think that's bad, you've probably never heard of Torpenhow Hill in England. All right. Tor is the old English word for hill. And one day, a Welsh guy walks up and is like, hey, what's that called? And these English guys say, oh, that's Tor. He says, great. It's Tor Pen, because pen means hill in Welsh. And they were like, yep, now it's Tor Pen. All right. Then this English guy comes along and he says, what's that? And
I
the
like
guy.
No, anyway, yeah. That's a different joke. Yeah.
That's different. Yeah. Like, we've got two Englishmen and a Welshman, not a Scotchman, and yeah. So, yes, the English guy's like, what's that? And the guys go, oh, this is Torpen. And the English guy says, great, it's now Torpen Howe. Because Howe, H-O-U, means hill in New English. And so today we have Torpen Howe with a W, hill, which literally translates to hill, 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 hill.
I wonder just if it's really a hill, though. Is it a hill?
Yeah. It's a just, mild it's, incline.
It's a mild incline.
It's a slight incline in the ground.
Yeah. Between England and Wales, it's, yeah, slight incline. And it's Torpen Howe Hill. Yeah.
Right.
My last tip for this evening is ampersand and its funny little and symbol, right? Hold on, I've got a bit of wine coming up.
Ew.
No,
push it
good,
down.
Good, good, solid. All right, in the first century AD, right, Jesus had just died. The first spelling of and was et in Latin. The Romans actually created a symbol by merging the E and the T together. Over time, this symbol actually evolved 6 times until it looked like the symbol that we use today. Now, by the 19th century, so we're talking from the 1st to the 19th, this symbol was around. It suddenly became popular with British students. It became so popular, it actually became the 27th letter of the alphabet. Yep. When the students of the time are referring to a single letter, that can also be used as a word like I and A, it should use the Latin per se before it,
right,
which means on its own or by itself, because you're using the letter on its own. Right, so the same thing happened with the letter and. So the alphabet ended at that time in XYZ and, or XYZ and per se and. Right. Over time, students shortened and per se and to ampersand, which is the official name for the symbol.
Ah, there you go.
Oh.
Yeah. That's where it comes from.
That's where it comes from. And we no longer use it in the alphabet.
No, so that was a fucking waste of time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know, right? Cut that
English,
out.
English.
Feel free to edit it out. It was a fucking waste of time.
No, the point was English students, stop it. Stop trying to invent shit because eventually we're just going to ditch it.
Yeah, fucking Roderick and his mate Edward. I was like, oh,
Edward.
Edward and Stuart.
Yeah, and Roderick. They were fucking rowing boats and eating ivy. And just like, yeah, ampersand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we don't like saying per se, so we're just going to say ampersand. It's like, you fucking douchebags. Although it does make more sense than and. Or could you imagine getting to the alphabet? It's X, Y, Z, and per se, and. Sesame Street would be a lot different. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's my fun words. I actually love this whole segment so much. I love diving into words. Etymology is just love it.
Etymology and spreadsheets, and you've got the answer.
Absolutely. And let me have a tidbit. I love when you have a tidbit out. Yeah. Let me have a tidbit out. Bianca gets her tits out. That should be definitely a segment.
We would be here for 84 years.
Right.
All right, Sarah, what have you got?
Well, I didn't delve into any fucking words, to be honest. Didn't really.
I think I'm the most excited for this fucking segment.
Yeah. I just didn't have time and I really couldn't be fucked.
And words escape you at the best of times.
Yeah. Words, they're just not my friends, okay?
Yeah. Your friends are not your friends, mate. Look
it and up. My friends are not my friends. They're, in fact, my captors, and they won't let me go.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to leave anymore. We discussed this.
Oh, yeah. Okay, if you say so.
Yeah, we discussed it the other night, the Hotel California. Yeah, you can go home, but you can't leave.
I'm going to sing the song now, but I'm not going to. I'm going to let Sarah do her thing.
So the words I have chosen, I just like the sounds of them.
Yeah.
And some of them, I like the meanings. So let's start off with Collie Wobbles.
Mm.
I used to say this a lot as a kid. I used to hear it. Yeah, well, and, you know, the older generations used it. So it refers to that weird feeling in your stomach or all over belly ache. And it derives from the Latin phrase cholera morbus, meaning it comes from the disease that we all know as cholera.
Collywobbles is also a popular reference to a football club in Melbourne called Collingwood, and that is why.
Who we all like to avoid, like cholera.
Yeah.
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 That they spread, like cholera.
Yeah.
Yeah. No offence to any Collingwood fans out there. I'm sure your teeth are somewhere.
Absolutely. Okay.
So, my next one, lollygag. The origins of the word, it's an unknown origin.
Oh.
But it surfaced around 1868.
Yeah.
And the definition of lollygag is someone who messes around or wastes time. So
the opening of this podcast is we had nothing better to do than lollygag our way into a podcast.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And, you know, I like to lollygag when it comes to editing all my
stuff. I like to lollygag when it comes to adulting.
Yeah. I like to lollygag when it comes to cleaning my house.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Erinaceous.
That was a good one, Sarah. I was impressed.
Oh, I know.
I was waiting for you to say that. I was looking at it and I'm like, let's see how she goes. Something like a phenomenon. Yeah.
So this is actually a strange word, and I love the meaning of it. It refers to someone or something or someone who resembles a hedgehog.
Like in The Witcher, with the girl falls in love with the hedgehog dude. He's actually was it Erinaceous?
Erinaceous.
Yeah. Oh my god, why didn't they use that word in the script? Probably hard for Henry Cavill.
I don't think so.
I'm hard for Henry Cavill.
Who isn't hard for Henry Cavill?
Who isn't hard for Henry? Especially in The Witcher. Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, god, yeah.
I mean, I watched The Witcher for the plot.
And all the storyline stuff.
Yeah. So
Henry Cavill in the bath and naked. Yeah.
Oh, wait, no one told me he was naked. Now I have to go and watch this.
Oh, yeah, he's naked in the naked. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. He's got less clothes on than he does have clothes on. Why do you think we've been watching
it? This is the first time I'm hearing this. When I talked about The Witcher, you were just like, oh, yeah, sci-fi, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, that sounds shit. I'm not watching it. If you had a lid with Henry Cavill naked, I would have been in.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I would have mentioned it 10 times by now.
I think we've mentioned it so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next one. Okay, I'm going to have trouble saying this one. Nudius Ession? I can't.
Nudistertian?
Nudius Sturtian.
Hey!
Sturtian. Well done, Sarah.
Yeah. Okay, I've got it. It takes me a while sometimes. Okay, so have you ever wished that there was... Okay, I've never wished this, but I've actually wondered.
Yeah.
I've never wished it. But the day before yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the name of the day that it was on that day. There is a word for it.
Well, you've got yesterday and you've got tomorrow.
The day before yesterday was Wednesday.
Correct.
The day before yesterday is
the nudistertian.
Yeah. It's Nudie Magazine Day. It's Wednesday.
Nudie Magazine Day.
It's October.
What day is it? October?
No, Nudie Magazine Day. So yeah, that's actually a thing.
Yeah.
The day before yesterday is actually called Nudie Assertion.
Yeah. Nudie Magazine Day.
Nudie Magazine Day.
Yeah. And okay, Persiloquent. If you're a person of few words, then this is a term for me.
No, not for me.
It refers to someone who doesn't say much or who, when given a speech, gives a very short one. This is a great way to tell people that, yeah, you are someone of few words. So to everyone who has listened to this, we'd like to thank you. If you have any topic suggestions, we would love to hear
them. Sarah's being pacloquent right now. I don't even know how to say it. Pacloquent. That's how I'm saying it.
Pacloquent.
No, pacloquent yourself away. Stop being a pacloquent.
It's a pacloquent or maleficent. What do you want?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've just made a new word.
A pacloquent.
Pacloquent.
Maleficent. Yep, okay.
And omni shenanigans.
Yeah. Omni shenanigans and a maleficent pacloquent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. They're things now. Oxford, Webster's, Collins. Listen up. This is
Cover Council. Can you confirm that these are now words?
2022. We want to see them. We're coming to visit now. The borders are open. If you don't put them in there, we know where you live.
Yeah.
It's on your exactly. Exactly, Gilly.
Yeah,
exactly,
Gilly. He's agreeing with us.
Dog's in. We're going.
I wholeheartedly believe that for a second week in a row, we should shout out to my side hustle. Oh, I love it.
Bianca is an actor. An actor.
A voice actor.
Oh, voice actor. Yes, I am. I get to play an Australian. It doesn't quite make sense, but it will make sense. We're only on episode 3.
It's not the first time a New Zealander has played an Australian.
And it not made sense, though.
Yes. So, Val Toby, Goldie Malone, Murder Mystery, available everywhere. Please get on Good Pods and, like, rate and review it. I don't know. Just get on there. Get on Good Pods.
Another class.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, while we're talking about people with Australian accents for no fucking reason who are, I think they were born in NZ, Russell Crowe, he started out like that. An Australian accent, no explanation as to why. It's just because he can't do another accent. So, yeah, Bianca is starting out the same way.
Yes, exactly. Yeast.
Yeast.
Why were we talking about my tits? I can't remember.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, my tidbits. Yeah.
Your tidbits.
Yeah, your tidbits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have had so much fun researching this topic, as did we with the rest of our topics. However, please give us some topic suggestions or wine suggestions, or just listen to Bianca trying to be an Australian. She's been practicing for so many years.
It has been,
She's been in trading her whole damn life. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you can let us know your suggestions by emailing us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com or on any of our social medias. We have them all.
Tumblr.
All of them.
Instagram. Facebook.
If you don't know all the
Carrier
social medias,
Raven.
Well, I don't know where you've been.
Fox it.
So, to everyone who has listened to this, we'd like to thank each and every one of you for your time and listening to our utter rubbish.
Yep.
And we hope you have found it entertaining and not using any of the facts discussed in this recording or past recordings to make any important life decisions, unless it is in relation to the purchase of a protection chainsaw or an Oxford dictionary, because words are hard.
Words are hard. Them. Invent them as you go. I am Lady Mondegreen, and I thoroughly endorse this message.
Exactly. Omni shambles it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Omni shenanigan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right, guys. Good night. Bye.
Bye.